Hello, Incorrigible Life. Welcome back to another play of Downfall, assuming you've already listened to the Detmer Downfall. We're back with Bill and Elena now to ruin another world.
I'm glad you didn't say Lelanders. Good job.
I thought about it. I always think about it.
I knew it. The downfall of the Adios. Here we go.
So while this game is new to both Bill and Elena, who never played before, obviously, since you've listened to the setup with John and Emily, it's going to be less explaining how things work as far as like rules overview. And we're just going to we're going to edit out all of my explanation for Bill and Elena. So for you, listener, it'll just be the creation kind of thing. Same when we get into the play.
He will explain the rules to us, Bill. It's okay. It's all right.
You explained rules with John and Emily?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Did I not hear that part?
Okay, let's get right into picking a flaw.
All right.
So obviously the flaw is what the Haven, our world, was built upon and what will ultimately destroy it.
Ooh, I've got an idea.
Okay.
There's a volcano.
No.
I'm picturing drones of some kind flying around. Yes.
Automation comes to mind.
Honestly, yeah, this is going to be tough because I keep thinking about everything that they did.
I mean, selfishness jumps out at me as being, that'd be kind of funny to play.
I'm not opposed.
What about to go with the vibe of selfishness, but refine it a little bit, nepotism?
So this Haven was built because Daddy built it for us.
You keep getting, in Leland's case, like jobs, but it can be other things too. But basically unfair preference are given to people because of who they know.
Who you know, who you're related to, et cetera. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like
story
that.
Of my career.
I think that's cool.
Our Haven was built on ego and nepotism.
Okay, I like nepotism. Now, each of us chooses an element, and we'll use these three to shape the Haven and kind of figure out what it's about. So we each kind of do that individually and then reveal what we've chosen. So again, the book gives a pretty detailed list of elements you could choose from, or of course, you could still abide by the list and choose the make your own option.
Who would do that?
It's still choosing an option.
I got mine.
Oh, I think I know which one Leland picked.
Steel?
Steel is on the list.
Okay, you might want to veto it, so I'm trying to think of a backup.
Hey, as long as there's no duplicates, there's no vetoing.
All right, I got one.
Okay, I got mine.
Great. I did, in fact, choose steel.
I thought of saying that earlier and I didn't.
You know what? In the first playthrough with John and Emily, I didn't, because the table is in alphabetical order, I didn't get past the G's. So I didn't see steel in the first game.
No.
But this time, I made it a little further down the alphabet.
Elena, would you like to go next?
Beaches.
Beaches, all
okay.
right. And Bill, what's the third element?
Spice.
Spice, okay.
I saw water, I saw sand, and I had to combine them.
All right, so now we just kind of take these three elements and we describe the physical world using each of them. So, I mean, is the Haven on a beach?
I think so.
Like we're a coastal haven?
Yeah, either coastal or like island.
Ooh, I like island.
Mm-hmm. Island yeah. would be cool because like you're surrounded by beaches then. Steel. Is that like an element on our island?
Is it stainless? If it's surrounded by salt water, I mean.
I mean, either everything in the Haven is strictly made of steel or it is like our island's export.
And spice is the drug of choice.
So where do we get the steel from? Is this like a big island we're doing excavating?
Yeah, perhaps it's just a mineral, very mineral-rich island.
Okay, I like that. So it could be like a very rocky, mountainous sort of island rather than like a sandy, tropical is kind of what I'm picturing if we're digging up minerals.
What is steel made of? It's an alloy of iron and carbon, so we'd be mining iron.
I mean, that would also mean that the island would be, there would be a lot of smelters, right? To produce
some smelts.
Produce the steel. And maybe, how does the spice play into it?
Yeah, what were you thinking for spice? Spice as a drug or spice as a food, Bill?
I hadn't thought too much past the word, to be honest.
Sounds about right.
I saw that steel was there, and I thought Leland was going to pick that, and I was like, I do like words that start with S, and then the next thing that came to my mind was spice, so I just said it. Yeah, I mean, drug could be fun. It's never been done before by an intellectual property, so that would be interesting.
It's just very unique, yeah, yeah. I mean, spice could just be Arhaven's import. We're very heavy on the export-import.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're an industrial beach.
Look, we work hard, but we play hard, okay?
Yeah.
We're a bad beach.
I'm not eating no bland food, okay? I've been smelting all day.
We're talking about this paprika again? Flavor. All right, let's start over again. Three new words. I wanna read it.
So the main import is spices.
Maybe the smelters that help form the steel also are like hydroelectric or something and extract salt from the seawater. So salt is a spice. There is an export of salt, at least. We're importing the rest.
We got lots of salt, but you can't just flavor food with salt. You need some, right?
But when you say, did you season something, they're thinking about salt. But it's not spice something, it's seasoned.
Now, what's going to be our acid? Because we got...
Lime trees. It's tropics.
Great. So we're exporting steel and limes.
We have to import our fat, so bacon or something. All right.
Okay, I like it. So we're an island haven, very mineral rich, particularly in iron, which we smelt via hydroelectric smelters that harness the power of the ocean.
Yes.
To produce steel, which is the main export, as a byproduct, we have an excess of salt.
It's a salty place to live.
It's a very salty place to live, of which we also export, but every other spice has to be imported.
Yeah, every other spice. Nothing grows in the sand.
Nothing but limes. Okay, I like it. So now we move on to the traditions. So we're going to make six traditions, two traditions each. So we just have to decide how a few things work in the haven.
Two each. So there's six traditions?
There will be six traditions total, yeah. So we will make two each.
I don't know that I can remember what six they used. All I remember is hospitality.
So, okay, why don't I go first? I think a very obvious one is employment. I mean, the employment tradition in our haven, it's just simply as nepotism stands. You can't get a job unless you're referred by, you know, somebody with renown, somebody that either works in the same job as you or, you know, would be a higher up of the position that you would be in. I mean, and that goes all the way down to like the smelt workers, right? Like, they need to know another smelt worker before they can even get a job there. It is all about who you know.
Referral only.
So, okay, I'm going to try to boil this down to like a sentence then. Qualifications are unnecessary. it's essentially
referral
the tradition.
Referral only. No need to apply.
Yes, referral. Employment by referral. That is it.
If it says it on your resume, we believe you.
Essentially, your resume is just like a list of contacts.
Oh, yeah. Just references.
I can already see the downfall of our haven. A whole bunch of unqualified workers running the island.
Yep.
Oh, no.
So, AJ, you can you would be to my left, so I would pass this tradition card to you, and you can think of the symbol for the tradition.
Oh, the symbol, right.
Yeah, you get to make a symbol for this one, and then you can go ahead and make your first tradition. So what do you think this symbol of employment would be?
What's the symbol for steel? Like a Superman S? As like a pun on the man of steel?
Like an I-beam or something, you know?
Yeah, like a steel beam. I don't know. I don't even know how to draw that, though.
That's okay. You can just describe it. Okay. So a steel beam.
Steel beam. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. That's why they call it an I-beam. Oh, yeah, man.
Because it's shaped like an eye. Oh.
Working girl here, you know. I got a little 3D drawing here. All right.
Okay, I like it.
My tradition is going to be about naming, because it's all about nepotism and daddy and mommy. So every first son and daughter is named the same name as their mom or dad, and there's a lot of duplicate names on this island. And a lot of juniors, thirds, seconds, fourths, fifths, sixths.
It won't cause any confusion.
Just generations.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
So the just strictly firstborns, though?
Yes. So there's some black sheep that will eventually end up with weird black sheep kid names expanding. But, you know, it's almost like shameful to, you know, like, oh, you're Leland the second. Like you want to be that first. You want to have the name associated with the referral, right?
So you don't. So kind of in the Haven, then firstborns are like, they're like blasé. Like you want to be like a younger sibling. You want to have older siblings then, so you can establish your own chain of nepotism.
Either you get pride in establishing your own line, or you feel insignificant because really, like, the name carries weight with the referral, right? So, I don't know.
Either way, I think is interesting. I think it makes the most sense logically that if this is a nepotistic thing, then firstborn is going to carry weight, and as well, the same name is it's going to make it all that much easier to say, oh, you're John Smith's boy, John Smith Jr. Yeah, we like Johnny, we'll hire you.
Well, John Smith the fourth, his referral carries more weight than Leland the first. It's obvious, for obvious reasons.
Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. You're just Leland. There's no, what, there's no junior? No,
wait,
no,
there, wait. There's no like number. People pause and wait for the numbers. Yeah. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oof. No number.
Yeah, no number. Jeez, get out of here.
Ew.
Dude, what are you, a no number?
Yeah. This is awkward.
There's like a no number support group that we go to every
it's
week.
Like no number therapy. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. NNA.
Yeah, no numbers anonymous. They are anonymous. No one knows them. They don't even care. No one even cares.
That's terrible.
That's funny.
I did not expect it to go this way, but.
What was this called again? What am I making a symbol
just
for?
Just naming, and that was kind of a...
Naming.
It was okay. One of the suggestions here, but it's like a generational naming of the firstborns.
So, Bill, you make a symbol for this tradition.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what it is. It's a massive two, because you're going to be the first second of the name is going to be second. John the second.
So is it Roman?
But aren't
numeral
those in
two,
Roman numerals? Or? Yeah.
Yeah, I like say. Roman numeral two, because then it's also two I beams.
Oh. Wow. But you know that when people are like junior, they don't have a number two, right? It's.
Think of how strong two I beams are.
Just a double I beam.
Can you imagine the structural strength of two I beams?
I mean, surely it has to be twice as.
There's
strong.
Strength in the generations. This is it's all
wow,
coming
yeah.
together.
I mean, you can't get anything these days without generational wealth. That's for damn sure.
I think we've peaked,
we
guys.
We are talking about Let's our current existence. All right.
Well, if that was the peak, Bill, then you can under-deliver with your tradition now.
There we go.
this has worked out perfectly. On the category list is relationships, but I mean, I think that's too easy. So... birth is also on there as well, which I think is also too easy.
Like under the header of nepotism, a lot of them seem kind of similar, right?
Let's do education.
Ooh.
Okay, I like that.
Okay. If qualifications don't matter, what kind of education?
Exactly. So if you're a number, you got that double I-beam, you probably don't need to worry about education. But if you're a first of his name or her name, maybe you feel a little bit hopeless. The nepotism isn't going to be as strong for you. So you might, you know, decide to take a couple courses, even though it's not going to help you at all. But what else can you do? You can't change. You can't get that number.
Interesting. So the first of their names are like the highest educated of the Haven.
But it probably doesn't do too much for them, unfortunately, right. Even though it should.
I mean, do many people leave the Haven?
I was just thinking that.
I hope they can swim.
Well, they can't catch a ride on a spice boat? Oh, I guess a steel boat, I mean?
Yeah, they're just going to straddle themselves on top of an I-beam, see if they can float.
Maybe the few that aim for education take on something about sea navigation or something like that to get a job on a boat. I don't know.
The only jobs they can't get are the steel boat captains. That's it. And their first love is the sea, so they don't have any children to carry on the double I-beam tradition. All right, I like that. So I got to make a symbol. I'm going to make the... All right, the symbol for education is going to be a compass.
Nice. I like it.
Which way is it pointing?
It will be pointing north. Very simple. Circle with an N at the top and an arrow pointing towards it.
Well, I put the west, east, and south on there, but...
Symbology varies depending on the level of education. Okay, so my second tradition, you know, I know we did death tradition with John and Emily, but I think I want to choose death again. I'm thinking the numbers don't get too high because the numbers only get as high as the number of living Josephs. So if Joseph the Third or Joseph the Second dies off, rather than Joseph the Fifth being Joseph V, well, there's no Joseph II anymore. So they get to become Joseph the Second.
It doesn't shift upward by one, like everybody?
Well, that might be better.
So like the two dies, the three becomes the two, and then it like...
Right, then everyone... That's actually probably much better. I like that a lot. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Okay, you can do another one then, because I can't think of
a second. No, that's fine.
Dying shifts the, what's it called? The order.
If a number dies, the living numbered move up.
So then there's probably not eighths and ninths and tenths.
No, definitely no. Yeah.
Well, unless we talk about health and we all live to 300.
I mean, yeah.
And then you want to kill each other off to get higher up in the...
That's very true. Yes, absolutely. That could be, hey, you're making the next edition. So no matter. But you get to make the symbol. So like those implications for that, then obviously if you are Joseph the Second and Joseph the First dies, you become Joseph the First, but you're actually no longer numbered. So you actually decrease in value. Yeah, you're just Joe. So your kid that would have been Joe 3 is now Joe 2. And that means your kid is now in a better position than you were while you were the child.
I can see some animosity forming there.
It does seem a little backwards, isn't it? This whole place is backwards.
I think the symbol for death is an arrow up, but like at the bottom, it also goes down. So like as one person is buried and dies, one person rises up in rank. Like a double arrow. Vertical, though. Yeah.
Hey, it's not far off from an I-beam.
Pretty close.
I'm going to get weird with it. As much as I think the health thing and everyone living long and killing each other is funny, I was humming and hawing about fashion. So I think I want to talk about fashion. So the issue is, when everybody settled this beachy island, the traditional dress of the people was not great for working in a steel plant. But they adhere to the traditional form of dress, which is... the Speedo and the bikini.
Yes. So, yes, I am here for it.
Including the most traditional bikini is a coconut bra, which can be men, worn by men or women, because it's just a part of the garb.
Yeah, it's just knit protection when you're working the smelter.
It's bikini underwear basically and a coconut bra. So, you know, working the smelter can get pretty friggin' dangerous.
You ever got some splashback on your nips? My goodness.
Oof. It's bad enough when you're cooking bacon shirtless. I don't can't imagine making steel.
Cooking bacon shirtless. That's basically like.
I have done that and it sucks.
It does suck. It makes you like tingle and like feel cold.
A coconut bra to save the nips, and then like maybe a coconut jockstrap looking thing for the men. I don't know.
I like the banana hammock personally. That's why I was so excited when you said speedo bikini.
Speedo bikini and the most ancient of coconut bras.
I feel like they came over from Europe, so it's speedos for the guys.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy to tell which civilians work the smelter by their scars and skin appearance. Or lack of. So what's the symbol for the fashion, Bill?
I think it's probably two coconuts kind of nestled together and then a banana like caressed between the two of them, just sitting up between them. Like almost like something you might paint in art or like sketch in art class.
Yeah, something tasteful, but
yes, very tasteful.
Quite large.
I mean, I feel like the banana's average, maybe a little bit above average. I just wrote banana instead of fashion.
Oh my gosh. What do you got on the mind? Oh, my face hurts from smiling already. Whew, one more tradition. We can do this.
So the way that we have been doing the traditions like works a little differently than it kind of outlines in the book. It's almost it kind of plays it, which no, that's fine because it makes more sense to explain it as we go for the podcast, right? But it's like you kind of do this in two rounds. We would each choose a category like we have been doing, and we would tell each other that, and then we would proceed to make the traditions. And then in kind of the second like round, we would each choose a category again. And it does say, you can choose the same categories that were chosen in round one, just not the same as anyone else in round two. So if we wanted to choose a tradition we've already created something for, we can make an additional tradition under the same category. So we're not like entirely restricted out of what we've already created. Like if there's something else that we want to add into it, like for death or whatever, then there's nothing stopping us from doing so.
Okay, so you're saying I could expand on an existing tradition instead of picking a new one?
Yeah, I think rather than expand, it's like add another tradition. But essentially, yes. Like if you wanted to add a second tradition under education, you could absolutely do so.
Food makes sense to me, Bill, if you want to think of something with food, with all the spices.
Yeah, I had been thinking about that since we started. I'm just trying to think of... Okay, let's just go with food and let's spitball. What can food mean? I mean, the fact that spice is one of our things means that food is a natural tradition.
What do we eat on this beach, on this island?
I kind of picture it like less of, you know, it's like, oh, you make a chili with like cumin and chili powder. It was more like we're having chili powder with some beef. Like like of the spice as the main course. Like it's still like cooked probably the same, right? But you talk about it as if like, oh, we're having this spice tonight. And it just gets paired with like a protein or something. Like
the way you talk about it is spice first.
Yeah, always spice first.
You don't say you're having chili as a dish. You're having chili and cumin, and we're going to pair them with some meat. And,
exactly, yeah.
And diced tomatoes.
I'm having cinnamon and French toast.
<It's> like, yes.
The way it's said.
Aw, cinnamon again for breakfast, Mom.
we're going to have salt, pepper, and some eggs.
Yes. Although I don't know how much of a tradition that really is, but I thought that was funny. I mean, maybe there's like something where like we adhere to a strict like equivalent of a food pyramid, but it's comprised of spices.
Mm.
The recommendation is like a daily allotment of X spice, you know, and it's all in the different spice groups rather than food groups of this food pyramid or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, obviously the food pyramid is outdated and they don't use it anymore, but not here, not in our haven.
It's going strong.
Not in Canada. We've got the food guide on the plate.
That's
it's
right.
Like
yeah,
a,
that's
it's like a pie chart of a plate, but still half vegetable. Anyway, don't get me started. So do we want to create this food pyramid? Spice pyramid?
Well, I'm wondering if the point of it is to stave off scurvy because we're an island nation. And it's very important. I mean, yeah, I know we have, we said we had limes, but there's not
limes
too many.
Limes can only get you so far with spice.
So maybe the spice is like supplemental to.
So like salt and pepper are your base, right?
Oh yeah, easy. That's the base of everything. I mean, it could also be like the food, like the spices are thought of, like they play into like herbal remedies for like medicine. So it could almost be like. Medicine, foodish
food
tradition,
is medicine.
Or something,
yes,
like that.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah, or something like that. I guess there's lots of different things we could do.
Yeah, maybe there's even like some superstition that goes into like if you're not getting enough of this or that spice, you know, that's not good. You're gonna get sick.
I heard about Jerry the Third wasn't getting enough cumin and he fell right into the smelter, fainted, passed
yeah,
right out. You
exactly.
Gotta get your spice pyramid. You gotta get the whole pyramid.
You don't want to start looking pale and sickly and pass out into the smelter. Eat your cumin.
Then what's the top of the food pyramid?
Saffron, obviously.
Well, okay.
Was it?
So you got.
What else could it be?
So you got salt, pepper. Then you got your
the
onion, garlic, and ginger. Then you got your aromatic herbs. You got your green herbs, your dry herbs, your parsley, your basils, or
yes.
You might say basil. Depends on where you're from.
Basil.
You got your oregano. Then you've got your everything bagel spice. That is obviously pretty high up there, but in moderation. Smoked paprika.
Like, by the time you get this whole spice pyramid, like, you're going to be full.
Exactly.
You're going to be just full of spices.
Just a teaspoon of this, a tablespoon of that. Yeah.
So maybe it's more like daily you drink some concoction. Like, it's yours. It's like everybody's, like, morning. They mix this shake of spices that they drink every morning. And
they're
then that's like the tradition.
Cleanse. Yeah.
Exactly, right?
Like
yeah.
The paprika and water.
Yeah. Chili
little
pepper.
Lemon juice, a little chili pepper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Little red pepper flakes.
Really gets things moving in the morning, if you know what I mean.
Really gets the steel flowing.
we're working in hot smelting steel plants on a hot beachy island drinking spicy juice.
I love it. Sounds,
sweating
sounds like paradise.
Through our coconut bras.
Yeah, just imagine the smell of the sweat, garlicky.
I mean, I think with this spice colonic you would take every morning, there's nothing that doesn't no amount of deodorant is going to prevent you from smelling like chili powder.
Yeah, everything smells like curry.
And garlic, lots
oh,
of garlic.
Yes,
garlic.
Definitely garlic.
Is garlic a yeah? Garlic's a spice, right? Well,
garlic
you can make
salt,
garlic powder.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other question. Would you spice everything? Anything you can grind down to make a spice, you make a spice.
Sure. Right? Yes, we got like tree bark spice. You know, a little sumac, a little palm.
Sumac. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little palm tree, coconut spice.
So we're going to go with the. Spice drink every morning to stay healthy?
I think so.
Spice is medicine.
It regulates your humors, keeps your body aligned. I like it.
Oh, I guess I get to make I don't really need it. We made the symbol, the pyramid. It's just a pyramid and it's got this symbol, right?
But we got to put an eyeball in it, obviously.
Yeah, we got to Illuminati it. Okay, done. What's the name of our haven?
I was trying to make a play on aromatic and like blend that with island because of spices and aromatics.
And it could just be Isle Aromatica.
I like it.
Isla Aromatica.
Isla Aromatica. I like that.
Rolls off the tongue.
Sounds like where you'd find a Jurassic Park.
Aromatica. Yeah. Roll your R's. Aromatica.
I can't do that.
I can't
yeah.
roll my R's either. All right, Haven has been named. Okay, so now we go and make our three characters. So as a reminder, we have the hero, the fallen, and the pillar. Each will have a character associated with them. And like, so they're going to be associated with the role, which is also the role of the hero, of the fallen, and the pillar, which will, again, come into play when we're actually role-playing. But we get to make our three characters here. So for the hero, we give them an occupation. So we just choose, we choose one of the traditions in which they are involved with. It could be a straight up just place of employment, or they could have some other connection that isn't strictly like a job.
Yeah, do we want a hero that's like the first of his name, little guy? Or do we want like the patriarch of a family, important guy?
I think the hero is the first of his name, but despite that, has achieved success.
And he smelts the crap out of things in a bikini.
Or is he the first of his name and annoyed that he's been denied success despite his qualifications that would make him a perfect fit for like a position he wants to do or something he wants to do. But
so he could be from a renowned family, but there would be still people that more renowned than him.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, his eldest sister or brother got the job, even though he's way better fit for it.
So maybe he's trying to leave the island to put his smarts to use or something. He thinks he's too smart for his position on the island.
So would they have something to do with the education tradition then?
It's either that or he's low in the employment of a, you know, like a big family line, or I guess that would be naming.
What could it be? The thing that he got passed up on.
I don't know. I see the steel mill as being run by either a family or a handful of really influential families. So maybe he's low in one of those families.
Yeah. And then like a third family would like run the docks, right? The export imports.
Like an importer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There'd
yeah.
be a handful of importers. So one of those, he's child four or five, you know, whatever in those families.
Well, if he's a importer exporter, I mean, we import the spices. That could just, he's associated with the food tradition. He's just like a spice importer.
Yeah.
Or like the assistant of an importer or something, right? Like
assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's a son of a spice trader, let's say.
Okay, I like that.
And he's like the second or third.
Yeah.
Not the
in
first
line. Born. Yeah. He's low in line, yeah. Well, because the rebellion can be linked to his placement.
Yeah, there's quite a number of things his rebellion could play into, right?
Maybe he's discovered that actually things like broccoli and leafy greens are actually way better for you than spice. And that would completely undermine the import-export, or not the import-export, the import of spice.
Daily spice drink is just propaganda.
Exactly.
He's fighting the good fight against the spice.
Okay, so his rebellion is he believes there are healthier alternatives to the daily spice drink.
Yeah. He's trying to convince everyone that there's fiber in vegetables. You don't need your daily spice colonic.
To be regular.
But the people are addicted to that daily spice colonic.
But their buttholes burn, so he might... You know, he might be able to convince a few.
Think of the reduction in inflammation.
The ring of fire.
I fell in.
You falling. Okay, gross.
To a burning ring of fire. Come on.
I just thought about falling into a burning butthole. It didn't. Anyway. All right.
Ooh. Johnny Cash.
All right. What does our hero look like? And what's their name?
Gustav.
Gustav. I like that.
Gustav.
What's his last name? So
yeah, so a spice trader last name.
I like the idea that it's like olden day last names. Like if you were the Stonesmith, your last name was like Stonesmith, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Yes. So what was a merchant? Yeah. What was a merchant last name? I mean, literally, merchant is a last name.
Yeah, I like it, Gustav Merchant.
But they say it Gustav Merchant.
Merchant.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Merchant. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. So what does Gustav look like?
He's a hairy man.
I think he has a goatee.
Goatee. I put very red butthole.
And he's annoyed with it. He knows it could be a pleasant shade of like skin colored pinkish.
Dark haired, very hairy, like head to toe. Like there's just hair that continues.
Okay. Dark haired everywhere. Goatee.
They're all tan mans. Because, you know, the beach and the sun and the...
Yeah, lots of sun exposure.
Lack of clothing.
Yeah, right.
A little bit wrinkly. Appear older than stated age because of all the sun.
Okay. On to the Fallen. And the Fallen, of course, is the antagonist of the story. So we choose a relationship to the hero that they have.
They got to be a number then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, first we decide the relationship to the hero. Are they a family member of them? Are they, like, the firstborn of Gustav's family?
I kind of want to think it's Daddy Merchant, yeah. Like the patriarch of that line who's trying to reinforce the tradition. Either that or the, like, dude who's top of the steel mill, right? Like, he's a honcho, whoever this guy is. Or she. Yeah, she.
But how do they know the hero then? They're just friends or rivals?
The steel mill guy wouldn't probably know him, eh? So, ooh.
Everybody needs their spice.
Rival merchant leader, you know? There's several trade guilds or, you know.
Would not be a fan of someone saying, hey, we probably don't need to be drinking all this spice every morning.
Well, absolutely. And the merchants are into the cinnamon and the chili powder game. But this family is into the basil and oregano. Like, they got, like, monopolies.
All right, so rival...
That's like oil and water. Does not mix.
Rival merchant.
Unless it's a vinaigrette.
Rival merchant, not merchant.
Are they a firstborn, then? They're a firstborn?
They're a one or two, maybe. Older than this guy. Let's say matriarch. Let's make it interesting. Let's make it a female.
All right, then we give them an occupation as well. So, obviously, we've done that.
They're a... head of the spice trade, basil. They're head of the green spices.
Okay, head of the basil trade. So again, that's going to be the food tradition, right?
Yeah. Is her name Basil? Maybe.
Basil Greenleaf, the second? Yeah.
Her name is Matcha.
Matcha. I actually like that.
Okay, sure. I'll go with it.
But she's the second?
Matcha the second, yeah.
Yes.
Matcha Monger. There you go. Instead of merchant, we got a monger.
Matcha Monger the second. She's got that double I-beam.
She's got double I-beam.
That double I-beam has got to be like the most coveted number, right? Like,
yeah.
Three's fine. Obviously, you want the number, but like, ooh, that double I-beam. Okay, so what does Matcha the second look like? Is she older?
I think so. The coconuts don't hang as high as they used to. I'd say she's like a, you know, leathery looking skin, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe she adorns herself with some like jewelry made of basil and parsley, you know, like some, she likes to rock greens.
Herb-based accessories.
Yeah, like her necklace is like, you know, she's air drying herbs as fashion. Like it's just.
Oh, okay. I like
dehydrating.
It.
Dehydrating. Yeah, herbal fashion. She's a queen of green. She's stoned all the time. No, I'm just kidding.
Queen of green.
Maybe she's trying to sort of glitzy up herbs and her necklace while it is, you know, dried herbs. It also has like gold flakes in it and maybe a little bit of diamond flakes here and there to like embellish how, you know, opulent herbs are.
Where are you getting these gold flakes?
I think she probably wants to maintain the status quo. She's got a successful business and she's a number. So she's doing all right for herself. She doesn't want any leafy green vegetables.
She flaunts her wealth.
And finally, we create the pillar. So the pillar, again, as a refresher, the pillar is essentially like your everyday person in the Haven. They might not know the flaw is causing problems. They might be completely aware of it and just don't care because they're happy with their station or with the state of things. Essentially, they are there to be a sounding board for the hero. They will help the hero, but they'll also kind of complicate things by kind of their lackadaisical approach to the problems going on around them. Whereas the Fallen will be purposefully antagonistic to the hero and purposely create problems for the hero. So essentially they're the neutral of the three.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we give them a relationship to the hero.
Are they also not a number from a different family and they're like content with that fact and know that they're going to like do okay, but you know, there's no need to shake up the order of things. It works. Everyone gets by.
Yeah, I wonder if we could make them part of the steel production just to like incorporate that.
But so that would be their occupation. But so how do they know the hero? Are they just friends with them?
I think friends is fine.
Yeah, I think so too.
Someone around the same age, station, but in the other industry.
Right.
Guess they could, their occupation could fall under the employment tradition where they're fine that they knew someone and got in. They're kind of just chilling.
Yeah, right. Because again, the employment tradition isn't necessarily your family member. So there's still that way for a non-numbered to get positions, right? Because they're still referred by probably a numbered that they might know. So that makes sense. I like that. Okay, so they're tied to the kind of employment tradition in that way. And they're going to be like a smelter, just like a lowest kind of low rung steel worker in their bikini and banana hammock.
Yeah, I didn't know if I wanted to do low rung, because if we're saying they're friends of the same sort of station, maybe he's like a middle manager of the smelters. Like, just a little higher. Like, life's okay for him, right? He's neutral.
Right, 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 right. So they got employees under them. They got people to answer to. They're the middle management.
Because otherwise, I don't think he'd be neutral enough. Maybe he'd be too low. I kind of want him to be a redhead that gets sunburned a lot. And wasn't built for this island. So he's just constantly trying to stay out of the sun. Burns easily.
What's their name? How about Harold?
Okay. I like it.
Harold Redman.
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 The Redmans are known for their fairness and flaming hair.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so we're done. Let's give a quick recap, and then we're finished with our setup. So we are in Haven, Isla Aromatica. Our flaw being nepotism, elements of steel, beaches, and spice. We are an island haven, very mineral rich, specifically in iron, of which we use the hydroelectric smelters to mix it with carbon to create steel, which is our main export. And being a little more barren as far as tropical islands go, we must import as many spices for our health as possible, which does play into our food tradition. Every morning, each person drinks the spice pyramid to stay healthy and regular. Fashion. Speedos and bikinis, ancient coconut bras, banana hammocks, they are adhered to in every job, every location. That is the traditional garb of Isla Aromatica. Death. If a numbered dies, the living numbers move up. So if Harold II dies, Harold III would become Harold II. Which would also move them up in station. Because I'm thinking, like, if there's a Harold 2, like, the original Harold becomes Harold 1. So, like, they're still numbered. Versus, like, Gustav, who doesn't have any children, he's just Gustav, right?
One day he'll be Gustav 1.
Possibly, yeah.
I like the first of their name, if they have successors, being 1.
Which is naming.
That is naming. Yes, the naming tradition. Firstborns are always named after the parent, the junior, the second, the thirds, etc. Education. So first of their names, meaning someone that is not a firstborn, like Gustav, are generally the highly educated people of the Haven due to them really having nothing else to do. I mean, no one else needs qualifications, which plays into the employment tradition by referral only. You don't need to be qualified as long as you know somebody. And our characters, the hero, Gustav Merchant. He is the son of a spice trader related to the food tradition. Kind of, again, middle management as far as the operations go. He believes that there are other options to the spice drink and they should be importing more leafy vegetables. They have a goatee, very dark hair, kind of hairy everywhere, very tan, being an island nation. Our fallen, Macha Monger II, is a rival merchant, firstborn in the Monger family. head of the basil trade and the leafy spices. Again, related to the food tradition. Kind of an older woman, wears herb based accessory that is accentuated by precious metals. Queen of green, as you put it, Elena. Head of her family. And our neutral character, the Pillar, Harold Redman. They are friends with our hero. Similar station, but in the steel industry. They kind of middle management one of the smelters. They're not numbered, like Gustav. They're redheaded, always trying to stay out of the sun. Burns very easily. And that's the setup for our haven, our second haven here.
Yay!
Well done.
We didn't do it on a volcano.
Yay!
With an elevator. We figured it out.
Harold feels like he's on a volcano all the time.
Yeah. Harold is on fire. He's spice intolerant as well. It's a bad situation.
I'm sure everything will work out just fine for our island. This has been a Sounds of Steel production.